Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. As usual, there's a lot happening in the Buckeye State's capital city, led by longtime Mayor Mike Coleman, now in the middle of his historic fourth term as mayor. Mayor Coleman is a regular, if not frequent enough, guest on the show, and we welcome him back today. Just returned from Turkey last week. Welcome back.
Great to be back, and to be here.
We will check on some of your impressions of Turkey, obviously a big thing in the news these days in a little while. First, I wanted to just get off with the big news, you know, and try to work our way through some of these issues. Local officials are now considering a $50 million plan to build a new arts venue on the Scioto Peninsula, currently home to Veterans Memorial, possibly a zoo exhibit as well, which the Veterans Memorial would be demolished in the plan. You've been briefed on the plan. What do you think about it so far?
Well, what you saw in the dispatch was part right and part not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's really not soup yet, it's kind of difficult to talk about. So I just will refer back to what's already been disclosed, and that there will be a different idea for what Veterans Memorial is, a true memorial to our veterans. And that the goal is to reinvigorate the West Peninsula of the Sada River in a way that make it world-class, make sure that in the generations to come that it will be one of the best places to live, to be, and to be a part of our community and to visit. And so that plan is in process. It is being developed. It is not fully gelled. There's been a lot of discussions. And what you saw, I guess it was a couple of days ago or yesterday, in the dispatch was a flavor of what might occur on the peninsula, but it is not fully laid out, nor is it fully accurate yet in the public reportings. So as it develops, I think, and when it develops, we'll have a major announcement about it and talk more about it. But right now, I think, frankly, it's premature to really get into the details of which are not yet firm or definitive.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment for Mayor Coleman, you're welcome to join the conversation. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page. I think they'll be posting a picture of Mayor Coleman on that in a few minutes. Guy Worley, he's the president of the Columbus Downtown Development Corporation, which is spearheading the redevelopment. He won't comment on the plan either much. And some government officials who commented to the dispatch about it said that they didn't want to be named because Guy Worley asked them to keep the plan secret. You're one of the public officials who was briefed on the project by Guy Worley. Considering the amount of money we're talking about, do you think it's wise to keep such a big plan secret from the same public that will end up paying for half the project in the end?
Well, I think you're mischaracterizing what this is. It's not a secret.
Okay.
It's just not done. And so rather than raise the specter of what it might not be and what it could be and create expectations that, frankly, won't be, you know, followed or engaged in, I think the idea is to develop it enough so that once it is announced and is talked about, it's real. But right now, it's just not.
Well, some groups have complained and filed a lawsuit against Jobs Ohio for its secrecy. Mm-hmm. But Guy Worley and the Columbus Downtown Development Corporation, they enjoy similar secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
It is private, nonprofit development organization. Comprised with a board of directors of senior businesses and institutional leaders, and that's from its website. Should such an organization have so much influence over the development of downtown without more public input?
Well, the fact is there has been public input here.
Okay.
Significant public input. And with the veterans, with the public in many ways. Now, what happens with the public input has not yet been determined. What this ends up to be has not been determined. So just to be fair, Anne, this is not a secret. It's just not. Okay. It's not anything.
It's just a puff of smoke right now.
Right now.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a puff of smoke.
Okay.
It's an evolving scenario based upon public input and information and looking at the opportunities, and it's moving target right now. So it's really hard to say this is what it's going to be. I think what the Dispatch did give is a flavor of what it could be.
Zoo-ish? Art-ish?
There should be. Yeah. No, maybe not any art.
Okay.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, the $25 million from Mr. Wexner might not.
You know, I think it's so flexible now,
okay,
and so much in flux that to say that money is going X here or there is, I would be misleading you.
Okay.
To say that it's going to be X, Y, or Z, because there's so much that is up in the air. I can tell you that what we do know is that there's some consideration about the zoo site, a site for the zoo. Now that's not even certain. That's not certain.
Okay.
That is not certain, and there's a lot of work to do for that. And we are a long way, not a long way, but a way from saying, all right, now it looks like, you know, this may happen. But right now it is just too early and premature to say this is what will happen.
Well, I noticed when I was driving over to Kosai last night that they're upgrading the landscaping around Veterans Memorial. So I know they have bookings through 2017.
Yeah, so those are all issues.
Those are all issues.
Yeah, those are all issues that have to be worked through. Right.
John in German Village, you're on the air with Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. Welcome.
Hello. My name's John. Love your show.
Thank you.
I had a question concerning the proposal of lowering the water level of the river near the area you're discussing today.
Yes.
By removing the Main Street Dam.
Yes.
And I was just curious, it appears to me that the bridges were designed so that the arches meet the current water level.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if those piers that support the bridge below the arches, if those were designed to be looked at.
To be exposed.
To be exposed.
Yeah, I don't believe they were designed to be exposed. So to the extent that the river narrows and the channel is deepened and you have more exposed bank, which would be about 38 or so acres exposed bank along the riverfront there, that'll be for people uses. There will also be a need to the exposed part of the bridges to be to look better.
And I'm just curious, do the people that designed the bridge or other people, have people objected to the lowering the water level because of that fact? Or?
No, this is easy to do. Basically, what will have to happen, it's not going to be easy to lower the water level, but to the exposed part of the bridge will have to be, how do I say this, modified in a way so it's appealing to the eye.
Have a contest.
Well, basically, it's pillars
right.
is what it is. Just put a surface on the pillars that, you know, become, more attractive than not. Right now, if you lower the water table there, you'll see exposed pillars that probably are not attractive. Probably attractive to fish, but probably not to the human eye. And so what we'll have to do is we'll have to make them more attractive. And that will mean doing a surface treatment on the pillars to be commensurate with the beauty of the entire area.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the call. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to speak with Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. There's plans at the state level to change the laws that would enable school districts to share revenue from school levies with charter schools.
Yes.
How do you feel about that to what extent should that be the case? Do you think there should be limits or what?
Okay. This comes out of my education commission,
mm-hmm.
which was designed to bring the community together on a Columbus plan on how to deal with education, public education, education of our kids. And so from this commission, there are 55 recommendations. Three of those recommendations are now before the state. In terms of state law changes. One is to create an independent auditor for the district. And we, you know all the issues with that. We're not going to get into that right now.
With the attendance records
attendance
and so forth,
records
right.
And financial
right.
issues and goes on and on and on.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah. The second is for the city of Columbus to be a sponsor of charters. The third is that in the event there is a levy in November, that a portion of those proceeds can be used for good community-based charter schools. Now, here's how here's the issue. There are right now about 50% ballpark of our students in both charter schools and public schools together going to DNF schools, a lot of failed schools, in the charter environment and the district environment, public charters and in the district environment. And there are a lot of charter schools that are failing too. And one thing we know is that the charter school movement, that there's 15,000 students in the charter schools in the city of Columbus now, that is going to grow. Charters are here, and they are here to stay by state law, and they're going to grow.
Even and, though they're e- not necessarily
if we didn't do anything,
any
we,
better if, than the city schools.
Well, many of them are worse.
Right.
So what I'm saying is there's a combination of public district schools and public charter schools combined, those two combined together, about 50% of all students go to DNF schools, both public and charter. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable. We should not accept that. We also know that charter schools are going to expand in the state of Ohio. That's just the way it is. That's the reality we are faced with. That's the cards we are dealt with. And so what we want to do at the local level, in accordance with the Education Commission, is to change the paradigm. That we don't talk about, we don't pit public charter schools against public district schools, because there's bad schools in both environments. We want in Columbus to focus in on good schools, both district schools and charter schools, and starve the bad charter schools. We are not interested in bad charter schools, and we want to replicate both good charter schools, recruit good charter schools, replicate good district schools, expand good district schools. So you have a system of good schools.
Who picks which schools get the revenue? Who decides which charter schools are good enough to get the revenue?
What we are going to try to do here is develop some standards between the school board, the city of Columbus, and the private sector through a public-private partnership that'll be totally public and transparent. And we'll do a series of, you know, public hearings and all that. But we'll develop a standard, some standards of what we expect in Columbus for our charter schools. And based upon that, there'll be a competition. And we want to expand the number of seats for Columbus kids in charter schools. And so this relationship will with the school board, we'll all work together on determining who is a yes and who is a no. We do not want to fund bad charter schools. That's not in the plan.
I want to get back to this.
There's too many bad charter schools.
We have to take a break right now. I want to get back to this. I have just a few more questions, mm-hmm. and we will continue. My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question or comment for him, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support comes from K.A. Menendi and Rug Gallery in Grandview, offering timeless hand-knotted designs from traditional to contemporary, featuring a full-service rug cleaning and repair department. K.A. Menendi, fine oriental rugs since 1910. More information at karugs.com.
You're mobile, and we are too. 89.7 NPR News is now available anytime, anywhere with the WOSU Public Media mobile app. Get your headlines on demand, listen to live streaming of 89.7, and hear your favorite podcasts like All Sides with Ann Fisher, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered. It's free and available for iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. Go to wosu.org/mobile app and download the app today.
The WOSU Member Card Benefit of the Month for June is the Wexner Center for the Arts. Enjoy 2-for-1 admission to the galleries all month long. Visit wosu.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Dan Fisher. My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. Right now we're talking about plans that are before the state to change the law that would enable the school district, City of Columbus School District, to share revenue from school levies with charter schools. Mayor Coleman has just described a process by which that money would be doled out. It would depend on the quality of the schools. The idea is not to fund bad charter schools, but to support the good ones.
It's not just for charter schools. It's for district schools as well.
He said it was not just for charter schools, district schools as well, right? Mm-hmm. Who would be levied the money? There's been an issue about levying the tax in the city of Columbus that would go to charter schools that people outside the city of Columbus would be able to attend.
There will be no ability, the way this will work, there will be no ability for outside of city of Columbus students to utilize this effort.
Those charter schools that benefit. Okay.
Right. That will not be able to. We'll arrange it in a way so that that is prohibited.
Okay, so there won't be any freebies.
Right.
Okay. All right. The Columbus Board of Education this week emerged from a closed session with no plans on how to find an interim superintendent. I mean, can things get, any worse in the next few weeks? They need to do so by the end of the month, I guess, by July. OSU retiring Provost Joseph Aluto was tapped for the job, but now he's going to take over as interim president at OSU. That poor guy, no one will let him retire. What are your thoughts about this troubled school district also winding up without a leader going into the next school year or a secondary type of?
Well, I can tell you this, that I believe the school district will find an interim director or interim superintendent. I think there's some good work going on right now to identify a competent, qualified, and capable interim superintendent for the district. Now, the reason why we're here at the last few weeks is because, frankly, there was an identified interim superintendent, and that was Joel Lutle, who now, because of the retirement of Dr. Gordon Gee, is now tapped for to be the interim president of The Ohio State University. So that put the school district in a situation and said, we had our person. Now we need to shift gears and find somebody else. And this is not of their doing. So now, and
plus
I'm
he was
and
cheap.
No, he wasn't cheap.
Well, for the school district.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But he was also very capable, competent, and qualified, and would have done a fine job for the school district. But, you know, he's called to the university, and that's where he comes from, and I get it. So now the district is now in a position where it has to focus in on a new interim superintendent. That takes a little time, and I'm helping them. And frankly, there are a number of good, competent candidates that they're looking at. And I give them credit. You know, the short period of time that they've had to identify a backup, they haven't been sitting on their hands. Mm-hmm. They've been working it really hard. I know this for a fact. And I give them a lot of credit for taking the movement right now to identify an interim superintendent. And in the next, couple of weeks, I expect them to have an announcement.
I want to just go back to the charter school issue. We have a caller who has a question about that. Denise in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a question. I'm a teacher for Columbus City Schools. And one of the things I know that the charter schools are not required to educate every child who walks through their door. If a child has a chronic behavior problem or causes other problems, they are allowed to have that child leave.
All right.
So
there's a different set of rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to level the playing field?
Yeah. Well, that's what we will do in our standards that we'll set up. We don't necessarily want to follow the state standards. We want to establish our own standards. The school district will be at the table in establishing those standards. So there might be some specialty charter schools that focus only on special ed, for example. There might be some other things, but we have to look at it and see what the needs are in various neighborhoods and then focus on that. We want to establish our own standards, in our community standards for what's acceptable in the city, in our community.
But charter schools, besides who they can take in, they also don't have to abide by a lot of other things that public schools, the regular public school, charter schools are public schools, but they don't.
Well, if they want this money, they have to abide by certain things.
Okay.
That's the point.
Okay. All right.
And the point will be that whatever that is, whatever standards those are, and those standards have not been developed because we just haven't gotten there yet. There's a lot
to
do.
Can't you hurry up?
My magic wand is warming up, but I'm working on it.
Denise, thanks a lot for your call. Are you concerned about people like Denise, though, that feel like they're getting caught between? I know she's going to say, these people are caught in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the issues on this, but what we're trying to do is establish a community standard of what we do in our city. Our goal is to make education in Columbus, urban education in Columbus, the number one city in the country. And that means if we do what we've been doing, we certainly aren't going to get there. So we have to do something different. And so this levy will not be only about charter schools. That is, frankly, will be a small part of what's going to be in November. The larger part will be whether or not there's technology in the schools for our teachers to teach our kids. That's been an issue. There'll be something in there, I'm sure, about recruiting teachers. I'm sure there'll be something in there about early childhood education, preschool, pre-K, which is essential to long-term education in this community. And this is repositioning our city towards a whole new direction that will lift us up so we become the best. And so we can educate these kids that are not being successful. And so we have to do different things in a different way. So what will be before the public, the charter school thing is this, not that's a small part of it. There's a larger part about reform of education in this community and getting education in a position of truly educating our kids and for the future of our city.
Do you see yourself in the future possibly taking over the schools and becoming, I know you've said in the past that it's not something that you desire, but as things go on, as time goes on, and as this issue continues to really be a front burner issue for you, You're doing it by proxy in a way.
No, here's what I'm doing. Let me be clear about this. I'm not going to take over the school district. I have no intention of taking over the school district. That's where I start. Here's why. Because I think that's a cop-out for the rest of the community. You know, why do I say cop-out? It's because what it does is take everybody else off the hook for investing and engaging in making education a priority in this community. It's one person's issue, mine. So what I want to do is I want to align the community, get everybody invested. Everybody has a responsibility to educate kids in this community. No matter who they are and where they come from in our city, they have that obligation to our children. And so the only way to do that, in my opinion, is for everybody to be all in. Not one person, not two people, not seven school board members, not one superintendent. It's our collective community obligation to do so. And so this process is about that. It's about alignment. It's about everybody jumping in, everybody taking some responsibility for this, not just in their pocketbooks, but in their day-to-day activities.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I have a ton of questions, but I want to get to some of the folks who are listening as well. Erica sent us a message on Facebook. She says, please ask the mayor what his plans are for the Hilltop, where my home is now worth $40,000 and I owe $72,000 due to abandoned and burned out buildings. The neighborhood feels abandoned while he focuses yet more attention on his vision for downtown.
Well, we're doing a lot of good things in neighborhoods. Our main focus has been focusing on these vacant and abandoned houses. We have an effort now that will attack 900 of the worst of the worst vacant and abandoned houses throughout the city of Columbus and in neighborhoods all over the city, including the Hilltop. We have devoted, at this point, $11.9 million for that effort. And we've obtained some resources from the county as well as the state attorney general's office. So the combined amount of money is somewhere between $18, $20 million. And the focus will be to take down and to raise those vacant and abandoned properties that will remain vacant and abandoned properties unless we do something about them. So that's strategy number one, to eliminate those buildings. Strategy number two is to rebuild where we can in those lots. Strategy number three is to renovate where we can houses that have been abandoned but are, they have the capacity to be renovated. And so in addition to that, what we're also doing is sometimes where there is a lot, say we take down a house that is, you know, cannot be renovated.
Mm-hmm.
We take it down, and it's next door to a house that is habitable and has been inhabited by someone, that we will transfer that vacant property with no building on it to the homeowner next door if they take care of it and sweat equity. And if they continue to take care of it, they will be able to take that lot themselves.
And it'll be demolished. The house will be demolished, but the lot will be there.
The lot will be there.
Okay, all right.
But you have a next-door neighbor.
Right, right. They have more of a yard.
And Fisher's there.
Bigger yard.
And Ann Fisher, if she takes care of that lot,
mm-hmm.
keeps it clean, keeps it mowed, we will transfer it to her mm-hmm. for a dollar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that program is starting to take hold. So this is a problem that has come to us as a result of the financial collapse of financial institutions all over this country, including in the, you know, city of Columbus was affected as well. And we've been faced with this problem, and we're trying to deal with it the best way we can. And we're having progress. We're making progress.
I want to get to some more callers, but this is old news by now, but I still want to know your thoughts. Gordon Gee has been a great partner of yours over the years as president of Ohio State University. What's your opinion of the controversy over his statements about Catholics and other universities? You know, what are your thoughts about what happened? We know he's retiring on his own volition, ESPN says he's being pushed out, whatever the case, what about the departure of Gordon Gee?
Well, you know, I think Dr. Gee was a great leader for the university. We had a wonderful relationship. We were working on dozens of projects together. And because of that, I think the university and the city of Columbus stronger because of all the good things that he and I are working on. Everything from the work in the on the east side to the work in the Wineland Park area to dozens of other projects we've been working on together. And I'm sorry to see him go. Whoever takes his place, we're going to have some big shoes to fill. I like him a great deal. And, you know, I was not in the inner circle of what happened, why he left. And I do know that he was good for the university, good for the city of Columbus, and good for the state of Ohio overall.
The Roman Catholic Diocese of Columbus this week declined to reinstate a gay high school teacher fired after she listed the name of her partner in an obituary. The ball is in the teacher's hands right now as she considers whether to seek binding arbitration. But along with her grievance, Carla Hale has filed a complaint with the City of Columbus Community Relations Commission under a city ordinance that makes it a misdemeanor for employers to discriminate based on sexual orientation. As you understand the ordinance, do you think Carla Hale's case falls into that category? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, because it is going to be a matter before the commission, I'm not really going to comment on it. I have talked about it, you know, prior to its filing, and I'm disappointed in what's occurred. I support Carla Hale's situation. I support what she's doing, and disappointed that she was terminated. And have expressed that and indicated support for her. But with respect to the case itself, I don't want to prejudice the commission who's going to be dealing with it. But there is a local code that I support and voted for and think is appropriate that protects the class to classes like sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression of age and disability and active military status and family status that would make it a misdemeanor if one would be terminated for any of those reasons. And so that's going to come before the commission, and the process will take 4 to 6 months, and she'll have her opportunity to express her point of view, as will the Catholic Church. And it will receive significant attention, I'm sure, once that decision comes out. So the law is pretty clear that termination based upon sexual orientation is an issue, a problem.
My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support comes from the Homeport Noble on Long condominiums, offering homeownership opportunities in the King Lincoln District, featuring green design buildings within walking distance of local stores and restaurants. Details at homeportohio.org/NOBO on Long.
Columbus on the Record brings you the week's top news stories with in-depth, thoughtful, and balanced analysis. From the Ohio State House to Columbus City Hall, WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson and his panel discuss the issues and stories impacting life in Central Ohio. The show goes beyond the headlines to explore all sides of each issue. Watch Columbus on the Record Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU TV and watch full episodes online at wosu.org/COTR.
Support comes from Home Care Assistance, in-home care for older adults with the philosophy of promoting health, well-being, and quality of life for all clients, no matter their limitations. Information on Home Care Assistance is at 481-8888. That's 481-8888.
You can discover more about WOSU Public Media by signing up for our WOSU FYI e-newsletter. Once you sign up, you'll receive a bi-weekly arts and culture e-newsletter featuring program highlights from radio and television, special event information, ticket offers, and much more. Just visit WOSU.org/email to sign up.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. If you have a question for him, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I know I've been hogging him. So Chuck in the South End, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Hi. So a previous caller mentioned that there's a lot of focus being spent on downtown and the Franklinton area. Franklinton seems to be the jewel of Columbus at this point. There's a lot of energy being spent cleaning up the drug problem, cleaning up street-walking prostitutes, and that's great for Franklinton. The problem is that you're exacerbating those exact same problems in the south end of Columbus. Coming up and down Parsons Avenue or Lockbourne or parts of South High Street, it's like a war zone. And, you know, when we moved back to Columbus last year, all I heard was, you know, there's going to be all this stuff being going on in the South End. There are entire blocks of houses that are sitting empty, boarded up, burnt up. I talked to police officers. I wanted to open a business on Parsons Avenue. I wound up going to Worthington. I talked to police officers. What can we do about these, you know, some of these problems? They just look at me, it's nothing. This is not a priority for the city. So I'm trying to find out what we have to do to get some attention in the south end of Columbus,
okay,
just like we do in the jewel on the west side of the river.
All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck, I appreciate your call, and I wish you were more attentive to what is going on the south side. Let me try to explain. South side has had generational issues. About 2 years ago, it was getting so bad because of all the other issues related to the financial collapse of banks and so on and so forth, housing, mm-hmm, unemployment rate, the recession we're in, which is the longest and deepest recession we had since the Depression. And so what I did was I pulled together a group, and the group included some what I call Southside champions from the private sector, who from their own pocket and at my request put together a pool of multi-million dollars. The city of Columbus, who in turn put in $18 million. Here's what we're doing. Recognizing there are a lot of vacant houses, we're working to demolish those, but we have now dozens of new houses under construction right now as we speak. And if you drove through those neighborhoods, you would see that. We are placing a new health clinic that had to be demolished a few years ago because of poor construction at that time in the 80s. And it'll be the new John Maloney Health Clinic. And as you would, if you drove down the street right now, you would see the near completion of a new health clinic.
This is down Parsons.
Down Parsons.
Mm-hmm. Where the old Schottensteins.
In the old Schottensteins, which I bought. Mm-hmm. We had the city buy. We demolished the old Schottensteins. It was vacant and abandoned. And on that site, which is several acres, we're putting a health clinic. And why a health clinic? Because it's the number one area in the Franklin County that has uninsured individuals. And I felt that the city needed to support that area, so health care was very important. So we have a health clinic that's being built as we speak that's near completion. You should see it. It's a beautiful building. In addition to that, we're putting together financing for a senior citizen complex for folks that don't have places to live that are senior citizens in the area. It'll be beautiful. We're also identifying some retail along Parsons Avenue in the same general vicinity. In addition, what we have done is I have the city acquired Reeb Elementary School that has been vacant and abandoned for many, many years. And with the Reeb Elementary School, we are transforming it in investing in it as well, multi-millions of dollars, along with private sector investment, which is unusual, private sector investment. And there we're creating an opportunity for a pre-K and child care, and we want, as well as job training. So one of the issues has been that, you know, you have children in the area, but the parents aren't able to go to work because they can't have any place, they don't have any place to put their children. So we're creating that opportunity, expanding that opportunity in the South Side. And all told, we have, we're in process of recreating that part of the South Side, and the private sector has come up to the table with us. We've had a cleanup along Parsons Avenue. We've painted every single building, every single part of the Parsons Avenue. You know, frankly, the truth is the South Side is beginning to turn the corner. And I know there's some folks that are saying we're not doing anything. The truth is we're doing a heck of a lot. And it's starting to make a difference. So rather than stand on the sideline and talk about what we're not doing, why don't you be a part of what we are doing? Because we're looking for people to engage and be a part of it. So I would ask you to be a part of it. And because it is reviving, it is coming back, it is getting safer. We are creating new home housing opportunities, dealing with seniors, dealing with children, dealing with an entire recreation of the South Side. And you know what? It takes a little time, it takes a little patience, but most of all, it takes people to participate and not stand on the south and the sidelines and shoot arrows, but be inside and start picking up a shovel to help us.
Okay. Chuck, thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate that. We have a few more minutes left with Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. Geraldine emailed, and I think she's referring to these community standards for charter and public schools. She says, as you develop your community standards, please include a piece on parental involvement.
Yeah.
In my 23 years of teaching, I have found that successful students have involved parents.
Yes.
You cannot speak about improving schools without requiring parents to be actively involved in their child's education. Now, of course, that's the end of Geraldine's email, but requiring parent involvement is a tricky proposition.
Yes. You know, as we develop these community standards, you know, there'll be opportunities for public input and discussion how all this is going to work. I'm open to what, how we do that, because I do think that young people who have parental engagement in their lives do better than those who do not have parental engagement in their lives. How do you make a parent pay attention to their kid is an age-old problem that I have not been able to figure out. And if somebody has some ideas on that, we're willing to listen.
Outlook Columbus first reported on Tuesday that there's been a rash of attacks on members of the LGBT community in Columbus recently. Gay Pride Festival's coming up next week, and folks are concerned. Advocates say such assaults are more common than the public knows. What do you make of the attacks? Some of them, you know, they're pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And how they reflect on a city that seems to pride itself on being gay friendly.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me express my concern for the victims. And then secondly, let me say that this was terrible. What happened over the past, you know, few days. In parts of the city where there's been attacks on members of the LGBT community. So let me just say this. Those incidents we have learned are not related to each other. They're unrelated.
Okay.
One thing we ask, you know, is this the same people or is there some group that's doing this? No, it's not. They're random. And then the second thing is, you know, we have an obligation, responsibility to go out and find those folks. Some have been identified, and we're dealing with that. They'll be charged to the fullest extent of the law, and we're out to get them. And then the other thing is we're not going to tolerate this in the community. We're not going to tolerate this. Hate crimes and violence at any level, but directed toward the LGBT community or the African-American community or the Jewish community, whoever it is something that is we just can't have in the city of Columbus. And we have worked too hard, Anne, in this community to be a progressive city to see these kind of things happen. And so I'm glad that Pride Weekend's coming up because it is representative of the welcoming community that we have. The fact that the LGBT community is as part of this community as anybody else. And it disgusts me, to see what happened. And we just have to understand that there's still some haters out there, whether they're in Columbus or Chicago or New York or Dayton, anywhere else. There are haters out there. And we have to deal with that. We're always in a process of trying to change our culture. And the issues of the LGBT community are vast, and we have to support that community in every way we can.
Well, let's get to Amadou in Columbus.
Yep,
you're on the air. Welcome. You want to talk about African immigrants in Columbus, right?
That's right.
Okay.
I want to ask Mr. the mayor of Columbus, and we appreciate their welcome on this country and his city in particular. I've been living here for the last 10 years, and we loved it. It's safe, and everything is good.
Okay.
But our question is this. We hear this from...
Hey, Amadou.
Yes, ma'am.
Take your mouth a little bit away from your cell phone and try to speak more slowly, and because we really want to hear you.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
So we African who come from especially West Africa, we've been hearing this for the last, since I'm here, I've been here for like 10 years. Every time we have this kind of conversation or meeting with African American, we hear this word, you guys come here for free, you guys don't pay tax.
Wait a minute. You said you guys come here for free, you don't pay tax.
That's right. That's what African American community
accuses you, the African immigrant community. Okay.
Not to pay tax. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely not true. And we need somebody like Mr. Coleman to make it clear that if he know one single African person who work in Columbus or in Ohio who don't pay tax.
Okay. Let's hear the mayor, because it's, you know, this has been an issue before. You know, it's a conflict in the community. I've heard it on the show before. What about it? What is the city doing, or what can the city do to work through some of these conflicts?
Well, first of all, you work in Columbus, you pay a tax. That's the way it is. Everybody does. Everybody pays a tax. And those from the West African community, new Americans, pay the same tax that those who grew up in South London in Columbus. Everybody pays the same tax, and everybody contributes to the success of this community in that way. And so let me say that I appreciate the West African communities, along with all new immigrants. The issue of new immigrants in Columbus as well as around the country has been the topic of national discussion. And I come from the point of view that where we welcome new immigrants, we welcome a new vibrancy, a new energy to our city, and we should be welcoming. And I understand that there are sometimes cultural clashes and tensions that exist as a result. But we need to work hard to work through those tensions on a consistent basis. You know, I had, I can remember, and this is my fourth term, so maybe my first term in office, I was meeting with a group of residents, and I won't even say what part of the city. But meeting with a group of residents and, you know, to hear their concerns and their issues. And one of the members of the group said that, hey, there's immigrants coming into our neighborhood from Africa. And I want you to put up a fence around our neighborhood to keep them out.
Someone actually said that with a straight face?
With a straight face. Of course, it didn't fit too well with me. And I was just surprised. But there's some sentiment out there like that. And I basically told her, ma'am, I'm not putting up a fence at all. I wouldn't even consider that. I think what you need to do is that we bring together that community that is moving into your neighborhood, and you and them sit down and have a conversation. That's a good start. And I'll be glad to come to the meeting. And let's start talking about these things. And what you'll find is that new immigrants want a good life. They want to work hard. They want to start businesses. They want to educate kids. They want to pay their taxes. And they do. And so this whole debate at the national level, I support the idea of this new immigration package at the national level. My hope is that Congress will adopt something that will address this issue of immigration in America once and for all.
Real quick, we're just about out of time, but I wanted to ask you about Red, White, and Boom in light of the Boston marathon bombings and so forth. Confident that you've got the right kind of security? Have you rethought it since Boston?
Yes. Boston gave us an opportunity to rethink. And as a result of that, what we are doing now is I have ordered cameras throughout downtown.
Okay.
That will be observed throughout downtown. Those cameras are very helpful in the Boston situation. So the truth is there'll be cameras up. Number two is we'll have more police forces as well as bomb dogs and sniffers out there, which are much of officers is an officer. They're great. And we'll have these towers placed, these towers placed around so that there can be observation opportunities by the police.
Okay.
So the public will be safe. We've learned from the Boston situation, and we're only going to get better.
Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you will come again real soon.
Thank you very much, Ann.
It's Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.